superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I love this.
Rich Eisen is here.
The mojo's back.
Yeah, baby. Yeah.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I told you my favorite words I get to say in this microphone.
The Rich Eisen Show.
This is what we're talking about.
Earlier on the show, host and creator of Roku's Honest Renovations, Jessica Alba. Coming up, ESPN NBA insider Ramona Shelburne, director of FX's Dear Mama, Alan Hughes. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air, live on the Roku channel, where we are free every day. Love the lack of paywall right here on the Roku channel. Free on all Roku devices, free on select Samsung smart TVs, free on Amazon Fire TV. We are free on the Roku app because guess what? The Roku channel's on it. As we keep pointing out, the Roku channel's free. The RokuChannel.com for anybody out there on the internet tubes who are at work and potentially not paying attention to what they're doing, the RokuChannel.com. Speaking of which, Mike Del Tufo's off today.
Imagine
that. So Jason Feller is sitting in his chair.
Hey.
Good to see you, Jason Feller.
Good to see you, too.
Chris Brockman here in studio,
Rich.
As always. Hour number two, good to see you. TJ Jefferson, how are you guys?
Good to see you. Cinco de Mayo.
Happy Cinco de Mayo. Good times on the old Cinco de Mayo, everybody. You know, yesterday being May the 4th, I never understood that. I understand that that's a Star Wars phrase, right?
Yes.
But if you have a speech impediment, aren't you upset about that?
Well, what does Mike Tyson do?
Oh, my gosh.
Whoa.
You just went for it, huh? What? You just went for it, did you?
He's in the Tupac doc. He's at the top of my mind.
And
last,
the director,
you know what I mean?
The director, Alan Hughes of FX's Dear Mama, will be on this program in about an hour plus from now. He'll be here in studio. A great documentary. The latest episode tonight on FX. Streams the next day on Hulu, which you can get right here on the Roku platform. So the Roku New Front, as it was called in New York City, was just dynamite. It was a great time. Even though my phone wasn't silent as the head of Roku Media was speaking on the stage, and somebody was kind enough to chastise me very gently about it. By the way, it was like truly, you know, as a 53-year-old man, it made me feel about 93. You know, phone's off. You're like, oh, wait a minute. I've got it. Hold on a minute. Let me get it.
There's a lot of buttons over here.
So it's one of the many contributions that my next guest made on the Roku New Front Tuesday in New York City. And part of the reason why she's joining us as well is because the New Front put her in New York City. And then she went to the Knick game. And hung out with, 20,000 of her closest friends, including her new friends, Aaron Rodgers and also Sauce Gardner, the executive producer and the host of the Roku original series Honest Renovations that's coming to Roku later on this year. Jessica Alba here on The Rich Eisen Show. How are you doing, Jessica?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fine. First of all, let's just start this conversation. I appreciate you being there for me when my phone was... going off.
That was so embarrassing.
Yes, it was.
Like, I felt like I was with my dad and his phone was going off.
I felt the same. Let me tell you something. You know, okay, Jessica. You know how the Instagram, you know, when the videos go off and you turn off, you flip up the Instagram app and it's still going on. I mean, that's what happened. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I think I was a couple seconds away from doing that myself if you hadn't just snatched the phone from my hand and done it yourself.
Because it happened twice. Literally, it didn't happen once, if you recall. It happened twice. It was so embarrassing.
But we got through it, and I appreciate it. Moving on.
Twice.
Okay. Were you surprised to find out you were trending on Twitter yesterday, Jessica, about what happened at the Knick game? That's
yeah, that was so random. Mm-hmm. It's very silly.
It is. So walk me through. When you got to the Knicks Heat game, and when did you come across Aaron Rodgers and Sauce Gardner? When did that happen?
Well, the Knicks, they're very nice, and mm-hmm. Julius Randle actually has become like a new friend. I met him at a dinner. It was with a bunch of CEOs and founders of companies. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was like about leadership and all of these different things, mindfulness and leadership. And we just like, we vibed. And he was like, hey, if you're in town, I'd love for you to come to the game. And I was like, cool. And literally the Knicks, they like roll out the red carpet. It was so cool. It was so nice. So we go into this like nice back room and there's like food and drinks and like all the people are back there. And, you know, I ran into some of my friends there. And I never met Aaron Rodgers before. I mean, recognized him, but mm-hmm. they came in, and Lizzie, my girlfriend, and I were just sitting down, and then he came in and sat down next to us at the empty table, and this kid had, like, this giant Sauce diamond necklace. And what? I was like, whoa. And you know, my husband has a name, Cash.
Yes.
His name is actually Cash on his birth certificate, so I'm used to unusual names. And I was like, whoa, Sauce. Like, that's his parents really just, you know, mm-hmm. called him Sauce. Great. And he's wearing a lot of diamonds. And I would feel a little bit nervous about wearing so much jewelry, but, mm-hmm. you know, to each his own. And my friend is from Detroit. They started chatting.
That's
and
it.
And he was actually very polite and very sweet. Because, you know, when you see someone who's, you know, I don't know, wearing a giant diamond. Sometimes it's a little bit intimidating to me. But he was actually very, very sweet.
Okay.
And then through Aaron Rodgers was like pointing to everyone in the room. Is like, do you know who that is? Do you know who that is? Do you know who that is? And I think it was like a joke because the kid didn't know anybody.
All right, so hold on a second. Oh, who else, man. Jessica, who else did Sauce strike out on not knowing? Do we know? Did you know?
It was like, there was just like a bunch of people in the room.
Okay.
Think about all the people, I don't know. There was just, imagine just all the people that were at the game.
Sure.
They were all we were all packed in this room.
Okay.
And the one person he knew was this actor from this TV show called Power. And then he goes, and that was like, and I was like, oh my gosh, it's really sweet. I only know because they were like right, you know, we were right there.
Was it Jerry? Anyway. Was it Jerry Ferrara? Did he know? Is that who that was? Was it Jerry?
Oh no, I don't think he knew who that was.
Oh,
but
wow.
I don't know.
All right,
I don't know.
Okay, okay, very good. This is great.
Yeah, but I don't know. He was just like, he didn't know who a lot of people are. I mean, I think he knew who like the basketball players, you know, who were on the table right next to us. Who are very famous. Everyone was famous.
It's a Knicks playoff game, yeah.
You know, just a lot of people were there. Anyway.
Yeah, so Carmelo was there, Amari Stoudemire was there, and so it's...
Yeah. They were all, like, kind of at a table kind of next to us. But,
okay.
But he was... Yeah, it was just really sweet. It was sweet, actually, how Aaron was trying to be, like, a big brother and, like, take him under his wing and, like, show him the ropes and... And this kid was not having any of it.
So is that why, Jessica, is that why you referred to Aaron Rodgers in your now incredibly viral tweet as an elder? Is that why you referred to Aaron as elder?
That was kind of funny, huh?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
I just thought that was something. That's kind of the dynamic, you know? It's like an owl, you know? Like, let me show you the way.
The wise owl. Think how many licks it takes to get to the center of the lollipop. Yeah, I got it. I got it. And then he...
And what's so funny is the kid, he just didn't care. You know, he was just sort of like, all right, you know, like, appreciative and polite. Okay. But, okay. You know, you probably wanted to hang out with kids his age. I don't know.
Okay. Well, I think this definitely gets you on the 50-yard line of the Jets playoff game. How does that sound? I think that's for sure. You are locked in on the Jets fandom now, Jessica. I don't know if you're aware of that, but I mean,
I'm not aware, but that would be fun to do. My dad is and my brother are crazy about football, so that would literally make their day. My dad used to make me go up to... Like, I would have to go to Super Bowl parties just so my dad can meet people and, like, geek out on them and take photos. He'd be like, don't you want to take a photo with my daughter? I'd be like, Dad, that's so embarrassing.
Jessica, I got to tell you.
Tom Brady.
Jessica, I got to tell you, I've seen that dynamic actually in person.
Did my dad do that to you?
No. I watched him do it to a bunch of people with you, I believe at an ESPYs Awards a million years ago when I was on ESPN. I watched it.
Mm-hmm. And I wanted to die. I'm like the little cardboard cutout that they give your kid in kindergarten to take a photo.
Oh, I
love
was
like that for my dad.
This is amazing. Awesome. Well, okay, so Lizzie Mathis, who is your...
Lizzie Mathis,
Who's your co-EP and co-creator and of, again, the
Honest
Roku...
Honest Renovation.
Honest Renovation's coming up later on this year on Roku, already been renewed for season 2. So does that mean Sauce is going to be a guest on this program? What do you think? Can we get that going? What do you think?
That would be hilarious. He's actually so cute. It would be hilarious.
Well, because again,
seeing him with a sledgehammer,
yes,
on a wall.
He can do that. He can definitely do that. So tell everybody what the show is about. Because I saw part of this at the New Front this week.
Yeah. So Honest Renovations is basically, I have 3 kids. I have like 4 jobs. My girlfriend as well, she has 3 kids. She has a bunch of jobs. And we, you know, have renovated and updated our homes over the years. As your kids grow, they, you know, have different needs, different stages. And especially during COVID, like, your home needs to be your sanctuary. And so we wanted to go and just help people, give them tips and tricks on how to make their home work for them, no matter what stage in life they're in with their growing family. So we picked like 6 amazing families, and everyone at home, when you're watching, you can definitely relate to these families and what they're going through. And we give them, you know, some life hacks and some great renovation tips and organizational tips along the way.
Fantastic. So, and it's coming later this year to Roku. So again, if you just mention how Lizzie has, how many kids does Lizzie have? 3?
She got 3. I got 3.
Okay. And so if Sauce is referring to himself in a tweet about him, I just might be him. And then any ideas that maybe he had meeting Lizzie, that needs renovations as well, is what you're saying.
What?
Yeah, that he needs to renovate his ideas maybe towards your friend if he thinks that he hit it off with Lizzie, is what you're saying.
Oh, he's gonna holler at my friend?
That's what it seemed like to me. I mean, that's...
What?
No?
That is so... You know what? That's so flattering. He still got it. We love it. I can't wait for a 20-year-old to holler. That is amazing. Yes, sister.
I don't know. I haven't spoken to Sauce, but I think that might actually need... That's what I'm saying. His plans might need renovations as well.
I see. I
there
didn't know.
Take a sledgehammer.
Oh my God, I have to call her up and tell her. I'd be like, yo, a 20-year-old is hollering at you.
That's what you wrote. He goes, damn, it's been 2 days and you still remember what I said word for word to you. He wrote, I just might be him. Nah, but I had a good time with you. And then, you know, he added Lizzie and then my chaperone. He referred to Rogers as the chaperone. To which Rogers then had a problem with you calling him an elder and Sauce calling him a chaperone. That's his problem. This whole thing. Yep, there you go.
Know.
So now we're all up to date. Thanks for the time, Jessica.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call here. Thrilled to be part of the Roku media family with you.
Yeah.
And thank you again.
I'll have to stop by in person when we're closer to launching the show.
Please. And I will keep my cell phone in the green room so I don't need to have an elder moment
God.
Around you.
No more interruptions.
No more elder moments around you, Jessica. I will not. No more of that. Thanks for the call.
All right, have a great day.
Appreciate it. Right back at you. Thanks for today. At Jessica Elba, obviously, on Twitter. Everybody, keep an eye peeled for later this year on Roku Season 1 of Honest Renovations.
Do we call Sauce now?
I mean, Sauce has, if she comes in, Sauce has to call in on the phone.
I mean,
you know what I mean?
You know, we'll still keep chasing down the leads on this story.
Well, of course, you're a lead pipe wielding professional. Rich, that's what you do.
It's May 5th. This is what we have to focus on right now.
We got nothing till the middle of July.
I guess she didn't pick up any vibe that we might be picking up that he was hitting on her friend.
It really felt like it was a
because she's just like, the whole idea of me even forwarding that to her was so, she's like, what? Really?
Yeah. Oh.
I mean, she kind of said it like she didn't realize that they still got it, but she has to know that they have it and have never lost it.
So Sauce didn't know anybody.
Who the hell is Tim Horton?
That was Sauce Gardner.
That was Sauce in the special backstage room at MSG. That's amazing.
Hear that one more time.
Who the hell is Tim Horton?
I've been sitting on that one.
Wow.
I'm cultivating that caper. Perfect timing, Jay. That was fun.
Yeah, she's cool, man.
It's fun to have fun.
I like having fun.
I gotta be honest, I don't remember the second time with the phone. Maybe
Rich.
Maybe I'm just living in my own world, as Susie frequently accuses me of doing.
Well, you're probably so embarrassed after the first time that you
Blacked out,
yeah.
Second time?
Plus, Jessica Alba has that effect on people sometimes.
That's a great point. TJ,
yeah, Jessica Alba has that effect. I used to know her back in the day.
Then I thought to myself, it's okay. Charlie didn't hear my cell phone going off through the piping and the drapes and him on the stage. And then a horn honked on the streets of New York, which was right outside the door.
Yeah.
And he made reference to the horn. He ad-libbed a line about the horn. And I'm like, oh, no. Yeah. He heard the horn. He had heard my Instagram going off until she literally snatched the phone from my hands and looked at me and she said, what is your problem?
And you've never met prior to this?
No, we did actually. Oh, okay. She mentioned her three kids. Okay. I believe her oldest is the same as oldest as Zan and Susie. And once again, Susie knows people way long before I do. There was like a music class that they were all.
Gotcha.
So, yeah. Last time I was with her, she, you know, was around babies. Now, this time, around an old man. Let's take a break. Ramona Shelburne, when we come back, the NBA. This is our continuing coverage of the NBA playoffs. That was our coverage of Miami versus New York. Now here's Ramona on the rest. That's next. This is the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least The partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's Ibotta in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN. It's the Rich Eisen Show. Radio Network is back online with our Roku channel live stream. Sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger is the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by, just as Ramona Shelburne has back here on the Rich Eisen Show from the worldwide leader in sports amidst the second round of the National Basketball Association playoffs. How you doing, Ramona?
Good. How are you guys?
We're hanging in there. We're psyched to be watching. Well, I mean, the last couple of games have been blowouts, but the final eight, including Lakers and Warriors, LeBron and Curry on the same court, has been amazing. Well, what's that been like from your perspective, seeing that, Ramona?
I mean, it feels like a finals, right? I mean, it feels like the NBA finals already, with the amount of attention on it, with the amount of adjustments game to game, minute to minute, the star power and wattage, like. You know, I was doing radio in LA the other day, and my co-host Steve Mason was asking me, like, who are the athletes that make the most money in, you know, last year in the world, right? And of course, it's going to be Ronaldo and Messi, right? And I think, like, these are the two most marketable guys, the ones who have established themselves as international superstars on that level. And we're getting it in the second round. It almost feels like I want this series to go on for a while, right? Because it's going to be almost a letdown in the Western Conference Finals when one of them loses.
Yeah, 6-7. The NBA will never have a 6-7 quite like this one. Does it get LeBron jacked up? I obviously he's been there, he's done that. He's the all-time leading scorer. You know, he wants to win. I understand what another championship would mean to him, so on and so forth, but. Does the fact that it's Curry and that they go far back, way back, and that they're doing it again right now together at different stages of advanced ages, does that land on LeBron in your estimation?
I think some of it is just, it's just fun. Like, you see them talking during the game, like, they've just been through it so many times. But, you know, I think with LeBron, like, he's 38, he'll turn 39 at the end of this year. Kind of incredible he's still this good. And I think he's just close enough that he can taste it that nothing else matters, right? Like, the fact that they made those midseason trades, they reconfigured the team to where he's got a squad now. You know, it's not perfect, but it's a lot better than it was the beginning of the year. And the fact that he's got a squad that he can see a finish, he can see a title, that's the only thing that matters. Because, like, you know, honestly, the last couple of years, like, I was kind of wondering where he's getting his motivation from. Like, it felt a little like empty calories when he was chasing Kareem down and the team was bad. Like, you know, I'm glad he got that record. He deserves that record. But, like, LeBron's about winning. He's the player who I think style leads to winning probably better than almost, you know, anyone who's ever played this game, in the way he elevates his teammates and just, you know, his decision-making out there. And I think he probably at some, when he got to four, I there was maybe a question: would he even have a chance at five or six? And this team does, and I kind of think that's all that matters right now. Like,
yeah, I mean,
like what's getting you up at 5 o'clock in the morning to train like he does? It's the idea that he could get a title.
Yeah, I know. I mean, the Lakers are not a house money organization, right? We're playing
right.
with house money, and LeBron, as you pointed out. age 38 going to 39, you know, house money doesn't mean much to him, but they are truly playing with it right now. I mean, they have the home court advantage in a best of five series right now to move on to the Western Conference Finals. And nobody thought when Darvin Ham was hired and Russell Westbrook was standing in the corner of his press conference and we're all wondering how workable this all is. I mean, they are light years from that moment. Light years.
You know, I knew Darvin back in, I've known him since 2011, right? And that was the year he was an assistant on Mike Brown's staff with the Lakers, right? Do you remember that year?
Yeah, sure.
That was Phil Jackson had just retired. Mm-hmm. We came off the lockout. There's a Chris Paul trade that gets undone. And then Mike Brown and his staff, which if you look back at that staff, it was a pretty good staff. They had Quinn Snyder on that staff, Darvin Ham, Mike Brown, Steve Clifford. Those guys, they walked into a buzzsaw, right? I mean, can you imagine walking in and having a coach under those circumstances, following Phil Jackson, you know, like having to coach Kobe and Powell and Derek Fisher and those guys who had learned from the Zen master. And you know, Darvin's kind of, he knew what he was getting into when he took the job because he had been through that year. He'd been through, you know, everything that went on in 2011. And, Even after all that, I remember seeing him a couple of times early on and being like, Darvin, you all right, man? Mm-hmm. the first five games, that was unlike anything I'd seen in a long time in the NBA, with as bad as it was Westbrook and, you know, the decision of, like, are we going to send this guy home? I mean, it was pretty bad. Plus, they had no shooting. They had just really very little to work with. Their defensive players were just, you know, there was like, they had AD back there, and that's about it. You know, I mean, it was rough. And the fact that they've been able to flip the script here and just completely turn over the roster is pretty remarkable. I think Darvin deserves a lot of credit for just keeping the team in it, keeping them together and not completely fracturing. Because that 2-10 start, the way that they got off to this season with the personality, and I don't want to just say Westbrook. I think there was a few very difficult personalities in that locker room. The beginning, you know, Pat Beverly was a difficult one for people this year in LA. It was rough. And I can't believe they're here now, considering how bad it was at the beginning.
No doubt about it. And then, you know, in this series, it's, you know, I don't know what to make of it with Anthony Davis. He went from Wilt Chamberlain in game one to Neville Chamberlain in game two. You know what I mean? Like, it's, I don't know what to make of it.
I do know my British prime minister history.
There you go. Okay. Yeah, right. Appeasement, the appeasement, you know, so I don't know what to make of this team as they head home to take on the Warriors. What do you make of it, Ramona?
You know, the same thing happened in the Memphis series, right? They won game one and then they kind of coasted in game two. It didn't see the same energy and urgency in game two. And I think they were tired, you know, playing with house money after getting that first win. But also Golden State was going to respond. I also thought Draymond Green's defense on Anthony Davis was formidable. I mean, it was that Draymond is one of the greatest. I would put him up there as one of the best defenders in NBA history in terms of, I mean, last series he was guarding De'Aaron Fox. And this series, he's defending Anthony Davis. That's ridiculous that he can do that. I can't believe that the same guy can guard those two players really well, too. And I thought he made AD's life a lot harder. The Warriors just basically said, we're just going to be physical with Anthony Davis. We're just going to make him very uncomfortable. And it's not really how the Warriors play. I mean, you know, they're known as a sort of, they play fast and the Curry flurries, right? And Clay hitting threes and they move the ball and they have that sort of organized chaos. But they can be physical when they need to be. And that's what they're going to do the rest of the series on Anthony Davis. And he then has to adjust. And I think he will coming home.
Well, and again, you know, Draymond, as you bring up, Ramona Shelburne here on the Rich Eisen Show, you know, he's gone in these playoffs from the guy who we all thought would never appear again after he hit, you know, King James and the Crown Jewels all those years ago and cost his team there. And he reared his, you know, ugly foot, I guess, onto the chest of Sabonis. And we're all wondering, if he's even a viable piece anymore, and he shows again, he's just a Hall of Famer, man. He's a Hall of Famer as they come. So watching these Warriors, I can't help but think about the deep dive I'm going to read. Maybe you'll write it. Maybe someone else will write it. It's coming after this season, and it's going to either be about another championship run or one that came short. What will the deep dive about this Warrior season reveal, do you think, Ramona? What do you think?
You know what? I'm definitely going to write it. I've already been planning on that, right?
I bet.
Yeah. First of all, I was planning for it last series because we thought when they went down 0-2 against the Kings, we were like, oh, man, you better get up there and get ready to write the Last Dance story, right?
Right.
Like, maybe it is, okay?
Yeah.
And I was doing a call with my editor. I'll give her a shout-out. I'll say, my name is Christina Douglas, and we were talking. She goes, I don't know, is it really the Last Dance? Was that really the tension point here? And I go, you're right, because Steve Kerr keeps saying, like, I was a part of the Last Dance in Chicago, and this is not that. Because the Last Dance started when Jerry Krause, Bill Jackson's not going to be back. Like, he was already hiring his replacement, and so they knew it was over. It's like, I don't know if you watch Succession or anything, like, when they say this is the last season of Succession at the beginning of the year, like, you kind of know what's going to happen at some point during final season, right? Are we far enough past?
We're still in there. Okay. Yeah.
So we're still in that gray zone. But like, I think everybody kind of recognizes, like, it is, we're in a place where this is not necessarily over. I know we talk about the $500 million next year and how can they keep them all together. We do all that. I don't know that it's over. I think it gets harder. Being around that team, there's a sort of quality, and you asked what the deep dive is about. I think what these playoffs have made very clear is that there's no reason to break up these three guys. These guys, they might be getting older, and I know the Warriors tried to take the two-pronged approach, like, let's have the older guys and then draft and develop a new generation to take over for them and pass the baton. And watching these playoffs, guys, younger generation is not ready, and they're not cut from the same cloth. And I think you just keep this group together as long as you can. So if there are trades to be made, you're gonna hear stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Draymond's gonna decide on his player option. Clay makes $43 million in an expiring deal. I'm sure they'll entertain all of those discussions, and they'll have to really work through it. But if I'm Golden State, and you want to still have a chance to win a title every year, you just keep those three guys together, and you do what you got to do with everyone else. Keep Wiggins, and I don't know what you say about – I don't know what happens with Jordan Poole. I don't know what happens with Kuminga and Moody and some of the young players that, they've gotten chances to develop. And Poole, I think, has done a good job, but he hasn't really given anyone the confidence that he's going to be the next Steph, right? So I think it's these three guys are just – they're still there. And they're still together, and they should just stay together for as long as they can, because that combination works. And maybe that deep dive is really just about fighting for it, proving that you're still there. It's not going to look as young or quick or pretty as it did in 2015, but they still know how to make adjustments. They still know how to win. They still know how to have big games when they need them.
Ramona Shelburne here. A few more minutes left with the NBA Insider and so much more for the worldwide leader in sports here on the Rich Eisen Show. So the general consensus is, Lakers-Warriors, boy, won't that be a great series against Kevin Durant and the Suns? And then there's the top seed in the West raising their hands. I've never seen a 50-plus win team raise their hands as a one seed as a fly in the ointment, but that's what the Nuggets appear to be right now for sure. How good are the Nuggets? What do you think? Winning it all?
I think they're really good. I think they're really good. And nobody paid attention to them because they have this weird TV deal. Nobody can watch them hardly. And they're out where they are. And then Jokic is the most reluctant superstar we've seen in this league in a long time. He's just there. He's just amazing and talented and fabulous every night. But he doesn't stir the pot. He doesn't say anything of note. He's not trying to lean into any narratives or drama. He just goes out and does what Jokic does. And then I think Jamal Murray took all year to get back from his injury. I think he's really rounding into form now. But the reason why the Nuggets are so good is because of their depth. Like, it's hard to talk about a team and be like, you should get excited about seventh man on that team or the eighth man, but that's why they're winning the series. And they're you know, they just have so much more depth than Phoenix. And now with this injury to Chris Paul, that Phoenix even has less depth. So it's you know, getting Bruce Brown, getting Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, getting Jeff Green, like those were just big additions for them, and they give them so many different looks and so many different ways of attacking a team like Phoenix. And yeah, you know, I covered that first round with Phoenix in the Clippers, mm-hmm. and I felt like the Clippers had a lot of depth too, but then they lost Kawhi, and it was kind of a wrap. But they weren't able to exploit the Suns' lack of depth, but you saw that issue already. I mean, Devin Booker's playing 45 minutes a game. You know, it was, you know, every game I'm asking questions about the minutes. And those guys are like, minutes don't matter. Kevin was like, I was hurt all year. I didn't play that much. I was like, I hear you, and you guys are winning, so that's okay. But it's not going to work the whole playoffs like this. And I think that's what you're seeing now.
Okay. And then in the East, is Embiid, what percentage is he? Do we have an issue with that? Did we see, you know, what we're going to get out of the Sixers? Or they're just, you know, what do you think here?
I still think Philly feels pretty good about their shot. Mm-hmm. James Harden shot the ball terribly in game two after being great in game one. But they, Embiid is not going to be his same dominant self for a while. Like, I think his injury, he said it after the game, and I don't know if people fully appreciate what he came back from, because he, you know, they didn't get all very specific about exactly what it was, but it was, you know, it's your LCL, which is a lateral collateral ligament, and it stabilizes your knee. And so it's one of those things that, if it, you know, they have all these grades, okay, and I think grades are subjective in terms of, you know, grade zero, grade one, grade two. His was somewhere between a one and a two. And you know, if it's one, then it's, you do come back on the time frame he did. If it's two, it's 4 to 6 weeks. So he was a little more than a one, you know, and he came back, like, he wasn't able to do much while he was out. He came back really fast. You know, he got some treatments for it that helped speed up the healing, but it also, that's another thing to recover from. So he's, you know, really, it's been 2 weeks since the initial injury. I think it was April 20th. That's 2 weeks from there. And I think if they need to lean heavily on Harden in this series if they're going to get by Boston. And you'll see a player that looks a lot like Joel in another week or two. But right now he's got to play his way back into shape, got to play his way through that injury. And he's lugging around that big old brace. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought he had the tights over it so you couldn't see it, but he hates playing with anything like that. Like, he hates the face mask, the brace, any of that stuff. Like, it bothers him. He's not going to seem like himself. But I thought defensively he looked great in the first half. I just think conditioning wise, he just hasn't been able to do anything for 2 weeks.
And then Butler and Randall, just to round everything out here. Do we see them back? What do you got for me on that front?
I think so. I mean, okay. I look. Butler's ankle was not a good ankle sprain. So whatever percentage of him we see when he gets back in the series is, mm-hmm. you know, he's going to be dealing with that the rest of the time. But Jimmy Butler's a gamer. Like, I think we're going to see, you know, this time of year everybody's hurt. And Julius Randle, I know we've been talking about him being out, but he you have to remember, Julius never misses a game. Like, so when he's out, this is a big deal for him. But he plays all the time. He plays every game. He would have played 82 this year if he didn't get that ankle injury. He plays the second night of a back-to-back. He plays hard, that intensity. And so I'm not worried about him in this series. I don't know if he can be quite as effective without the same burst because of his ankle injury. Same thing with Brunson. But, you know, I that series feels to me like it's going to go a while, too, because everybody's dealing with stuff. And so far, the Heat have been the more impressive team to me. I thought Miami, even without Jimmy Butler, was in that game two, and that was impressive. And I think going home, they'll either win one or both of these games here.
Last one for you, Ramona Shelburne, if you don't mind. With Mike Budenholzer being fired and Nick Nurse being fired weeks before that and Frank Vogel being fired last offseason, that's Steve Kerr's the only head coach of a championship team in the last 4 years to still be employed. Is there, you know, obviously everything's got its own fingerprint, but is there just a general sense as to why world championship head coaches are being fired in the NBA?
Yeah. I mean, look, you need a couple things to win a championship, right? You need a championship level head coach, you need superstars, and then you need the right mix of role players, right? And Nick Nurse lost his superstar that won on the title. That was Kawhi Leonard. He was only there for that year. And I think Nick Nurse is seen as one of the best coaches in the NBA. He's going to land quickly, and he's going to land well. So that was just he'd been there for a while. They may be going into a different phase with the rebuild. And, you know, if he's not up for it and they're not up for that, you know, that rebuild, then you got to make sure you get somebody who is. I think with Frank Vogel, like he was always a, like Frank earned a lot of respect as a coach with the Lakers, but I think LeBron got more credit for that title than Frank Vogel did. And you know, the Lakers aren't going to make a move on a head coach. And, you know, same as the Bucks aren't going to make a move on Mike Budenholzer without consulting with their superstars, right? Like I don't think LeBron James disliked Frank Vogel at all. I think they had a good relationship. But did he stand in the way of him getting fired? No. You know, Giannis, there was always kind of chatter about Giannis and Bud. But I was like, they won together. They did well together. I thought he kind of threw him under the bus in those playoff games about the answers Giannis gave after those games of saying, you know, I wish we would have made an adjustment on Jimmy. And, you know, but I'm going to leave that to the coach. I mean, that's a pretty rough answer right there. Mm. You know, I thought, you know, that those kinds of things, like, You don't have to be pushing the coach out the door, but if you don't stand in the way of it, that's the other part of it, right? So I don't think Giannis stood in the way of Bud getting fired. I don't think he pushed him either, but that's why we're here. You know, like there's Steve Kerr has Steph Curry, and they've got a great relationship, and that's why he's still standing. And that's why, you know, when they went and they were the last team, you know, they had the worst record in the league a couple years after winning a title, and they stuck with Steve Kerr because they know he's a great coach, and also because his superstars Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green want him to be the coach and are really comfortable with him.
Ramona, great stuff as always. Greatly appreciate your time. Let's do this as the playoffs advance. Much appreciated.
Yeah,
thanks.
You got it, Rich.
Safe journeys.
Thanks.
You got it. That's Ramona Shelburne of ESPN right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Kerr and Curry, get along. Kerr and, you know, can talk to Draymond in a way that maybe no other coach can and reach him. I don't know.
Obviously.
Kerr's got Clay. And Budenholzer might not have had Giannis in his corner. And Vogel, we all know, is no longer here. And Nick Nurse lost his superstar. Although Stephen A. says he's the worst superstar of all time?
Yeah, come on.
Kawhi?
That was harsh.
That was.
Yeah. It was very harsh.
But I could pick up what he's putting down.
Yeah.
And I found that very interesting, Ramona, talking about the Warriors, that that they may keep this thing together because they've looked at the young guys, and the young guys don't have what these core three have, which is not only an ability to play with each other, play for each other, or play with each other despite sometimes being left holding the bag for the other's actions. Well, I think you know what I'm saying there with Draymond, that they all still get along when it comes there. And then you look at the other players, the young guys on the team that they're trying to get that core to maybe take over or sit in there when they need to and play. I mean, Jordan Poole's the only one that comes close, one would say, of the young guys. Right? I mean, I guess Looney's making a nice impact, for sure.
He's finding his groove.
You know, it's not like the cupboard's totally bare in terms of, you know, championship caliber players. I mean, Gary Payton II is really, really good. We're leaving Wiggins out of the conversation because he's not one of those. Although maybe he would be a tentpole pillar once these guys move on. But they're also not pushing 40 here, and they're playing great. So moving on from them, be like, you know, be careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
But I still think the deep dive, she says that the deep dive is going to be about still fighting for the championship. I think fighting is the key word. It's all going to go back to that punch. All of it. Man, that's an iceberg, and we only see the tip. 844-204-RICH, number to dial right here on the Rich Eisen Show. The director, Alan Hughes of Dear Mama on FX about Tupac and his mom, coming up in studio, hour three.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Alan Hughes, the director of Dear Mama on FX, which you can see the next day, every single time it airs on FX, latest episode tonight at 10 Eastern time. You can see it on Hulu, which you can see right here on the Roku channel. He's about to join us in studio, and it'll be great. We're all watching this doc. We have a lot of questions for him. Of course, he was also the director of the Defiant Ones, about Jimmy Iovine and Dr. Dre. What a great documentary that was. Just amazing. So that's just one of the many Menace to Society, Dead Presidents. He's going to be joining us here in studio, hour number three. Top of this hour, we had Jessica Alba on. And she filled in a few of the blanks on meeting Sauce Gardner and Aaron Rodgers at the Knicks game. How about the fact she got the tickets from Julius Randle because they had met at a conference about owning your own business? They hit it off, and she was a guest of Julius Randle.
That's cool.
And she talked about how the Knicks roll out the red carpet for her, and I came very close to explaining how, you know, for me, that doesn't happen. She's not in the wormhole?
Well, she's not in the Rappaport zone.
That's true. The Rappaport zone, I like it.
Wasn't the tier level?
I think he's zone five.
Zone, that's what it was.
By the way, you know what's on NFL Network right now?
What?
The Monday night game where Bo Jackson ran over the boss.
Kingdom.
And ran out the end zone as well.
You know,
he just got hosed on a fumble in the ball. His knee was clearly down, and there's no replay. They showed the replay. I obviously don't have the sound up, but I do believe Al's on the call. Al Michaels called everything.
Al and Frank and Dan.
And I think, Deardorff. Yeah.
Maybe Lynn Swann on the sideline.
Yeah, Bo just dropped one, actually. I'm just seeing Bo Jackson play football. It's just
pretty great.
It is great. Kurt Warner with a C.
Yep.
There's a Kurt Warner on NFL Network right now. Love it. Mark Wilson is the quarterback of the of the Raiders. Yep, he just went under center and handed it off to Bo. Marcus Allen and Bo Jackson shared the same backfield.
That's insane, right?
And then Al Davis was like, take a hike.
He wound up. There's Tom Flores. He's going to the hall one day. I love stuff like this.
You know, Rich, I feel like over time, the Bo running over Boz story may have gotten blown out of proportion a little bit, because if you just listen, you think he trucked him, stepped on his chest like Draymond and ran over him. Where really, it's like Bosworth hit him at the 1.5. Nobody was going to stop Bo Jackson.
Well, but at the time, Boz was, if you remember what he was larger than life.
He was.
Coming out of college, and that was a big moment. That was Bo versus Boz, and then they actually got to meet in the hole, and it didn't go very well.
Wouldn't have went well for any linebacker.
But in terms of larger than life and Bo being larger than life, you have to read Jeff Perlman's book on him. You have to read it. I'm telling you. And, you know, speaking of Jeff, his next book is on Tupac, by the way.
Yeah.
He's doing, you know, it's going to be a part of our conversation in hour three with Alan Hughes. So, fun stuff, man.
Yeah, this documentary, man, it took me back, man. You know, because I was in that moment. I was picking sides on the East Coast, West Coast feud. And, you know, and I got caught up in my feelings watching this thing, man. It really did. It took me back. This is a powerful documentary.
If you got a question for Alan, he's coming out soon.
I know. He just got here.
Okay, very good.
Yeah.
Very good. So, and Ramona just broke it down. The NBA playoffs being the it.
What do you like tonight?
I honestly think the Nuggets go up 3-0.
Kind of do too.
I think the Nuggets go up 3-0. And I don't know. That Sixers-Celtics game.
It's wide open.
I have no idea.
It's wide open.
Like, which team for each is going to show up tonight? Yeah. Are the Celtics going to make 23s and not turn the ball over? Or is Harden and Embiid going to do their thing?
It's going to be fun.
Hold home court.
I mean, if you told me that we were going to hold Jason Tatum to 7, I'd have been like, that's a dub. Didn't happen.
And then it wasn't.